This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, it is hour number three. Thanks for joining us. Happy Friday to you. All right, coming up, we've got the schedule of the NFL, week number seven. We're going to go over all the games, why you should watch, and why you may need, you know, just have to skip certain NFL contests. Because, you know, now that we've got a lot of meat on the schedule, there's a lot more reasons to watch, and there's a lot more reasons to ignore certain games in the league. Last night's game was interesting between 2-3 and 3 football teams, as I've been talking about all morning. One was just played with a more sense of urgency than the other, and that was the Cleveland Browns. No Kareem Hunt, no Nick Chubb, no Baker Mayfield, and nevertheless, Case Keenum and D'Ernest Johnson didn't matter. They helped seal this victory for the Browns to go to 4-3, and didn't look all that bad doing it. And it looks like Baker Mayfield is going to be out even longer, as he's got a detailed injury to his shoulder that's going to require more healing. But for the Denver Broncos, who came in with the same exact record and the same reason to prove and a reason to win to stay sort of relevant into the conversation, they fall to 3-4, losing 4 straight. And Fangio now has 2 4-game losing skids in his tenure as the Denver Broncos head coach. And I like Vic Fangio, and I thought he was the right hire at the time, because I thought, you know, a guy that has spent 30-plus years in the NFL, and, you know, defensive coordinator, defensive mind, all of that, right guy for the Broncos, who were trying to build yet another championship run on the defense. But he has not been the coach that they've been looking for. And I think he can still do great things as a defensive coordinator, but I think sometimes you get sort of in opportunities and the opportunities aren't working out. I don't see it working out for Denver at all. Absolutely not. They've tried every single quarterback, and they cannot seem to produce a team that is capable of being threatening enough to win games like last night. But Kevin Stefanski did a fine job of calling the plays. He had a great game plan going in against this Bronco defense. D'Ernest Johnson, a guy getting an opportunity because of injuries, had 146 yards rushing against one of the better defenses in the NFL. That means the offensive line was working. That means play calling was good. And that means Case Keenum did his job as quarterback, guiding and running that offense in place of Baker Mayfield. It wasn't a pretty win, but it was an important win for the Cleveland Browns.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, so we're going to go over the games of the NFL schedule. We're going to do the early games and then the late afternoon games, including the Sunday night contest. And then we're going to talk to Chris Medland. We're going to talk about the U.S. Grand Prix that's going to be held in Austin, Texas. A big, huge event that is going to be on ABC television. Over 100,000 people will be there, so we'll talk to him about the festivities that are going to be going on in Texas. All right, so let's get started, Ron, as we go through the NFL schedule of games as we continue along here on Wake Up Call. So you're going to be doing this with on Sunday with some NFL action, and we may actually have could possibly, fingers crossed, Ron Culver, a possible Game 7. Yep. For the LA Dodgers.
Long drinking day.
Yeah, it could be a big day of NFL football. All right. So let's it's so funny. Let's get underway. Washington taking on the Green Bay Packers. You know what? The Packers blew that game in week one against the New Orleans Saints, and since then they've been rock solid good.
Yeah, I think the only thing that could derail the Packers right now is some disparaging emails about Aaron Rodgers from the Washington football team.
Maybe so. And then still Aaron Rodgers will throw 3 touchdown passes and say, I own you. I don't know what else to say. Rodgers has got 12 already on the season. They are 5-1. They're one of the top teams in the NFL. And Washington at 2-4. Taylor a nice story, but I don't think it's nice enough to go to Lambeau Field and play the Green Bay Packers.
I don't think this is a good
watch. It's a middle of the road. I mean, watch it for Aaron Rodgers, because if you're trying to watch the better teams in the NFL, they're certainly one of them.
If you're watching for another MVP bid, watch this show.
Yeah, watch this one.
Watch this one.
Tennessee Titans taking on the Kansas City Chiefs in Nashville. These two teams have not met since the 2016 AFC title game. I think this is a 5-star game on the platter.
I would give it 6.
Now, Titans are coming off a win Monday against the Buffalo Bills. Now, the Chiefs look like they've righted the ship a little bit.
Yes, but they still need this one.
They do. They really need this one. And here's the thing, and this is going to be an interesting angle to this game. Derrick Henry, we know, runs the ball great, right? All that. He's got a 5-game streak of over 100 yards rushing, and he's going up against a Kansas City defense that allows a lot of yards on the ground. This defense is a mess, by the way. Kansas City's defense is disastrous. And Patrick Mahomes, 18 touchdowns, but he's also got 8 interceptions. Kansas City leads the league in turnovers. Interesting angle to this game, just throwing it out there.
Yeah,
if you've got some fantasy implications on the
But line. Here's the deal. If you're needing an angle to watch this game, then you don't understand football.
Right, I know.
Because this one is just – all you need to know is this, that the Titans need this win and the Chiefs need this win. Two teams are going to go out there and just, you know, try to roll stomp on one another. It's going to be high – here's the deal. I wouldn't be surprised if each team scored 40 points. I wouldn't be surprised if each team only scored like somewhere in the, you know, teens.
Completely. Look, the Titans, I don't know what they did to the schedule makers to tick them off, but they got Buffalo and Kansas City in back-to-back short weeks.
Yeah.
Right? Ooh. I mean, what did they do to anybody other than just, you know, chill out in Music City and enjoy, you know, Vince Gill concerts? My goodness, who did? I mean, but the Bills and the Chiefs in back-to-back games?
Yeah.
Goodness gracious. So, yeah, this is going to be a big one. Everyone here is thrilled. I'm on my town's Facebook page, and people are already like, I need two tickets. And people are like, I got 2 for $600.
Of course you do. That's the nosebleeds, too.
That's right, exactly. Atlanta Falcons down in Miami to take on the Dolphins. I am willing to admit something here, and maybe it's because I didn't really pay attention. The Atlanta Falcons went to play the Jets in London. When they came back, they got a bye week. The Dolphins just played Jacksonville. The Jags got a bye week, but the Dolphins did not.
Yep.
I thought you got a bye week when you played in London.
Not for the Dolphins, because they were supposed to be coming back with the win and
right.
be ready to play.
Right. All right. Remember I said earlier about how the Browns and the Broncos were two desperate teams? I can't find a more desperate team than Miami right now, 1-5.
Yeah.
You're gonna write this shit.
They're gonna make a trade.
Oh,
that's how desperate they are.
Exactly. Don't look at what the other hand is doing.
And if you need more watchability for this game, apparently, Falcon fans don't care about 28-3 anymore.
That's right. Good point. As we learned last hour. Yeah. Oh goodness!
You don't know what that is. You'll just
listen
wait.
To the podcast.
It'll be up soon enough.
Yeah. I still hope I didn't
see
anger that guy.
I'm gonna, you know, hold off on the football thing. That's the argument that you need to make. You know, they didn't care that the Braves only won one World Series during that juggernaut time of just sheer dominance for the National League.
Right.
But they are still up in arms over 28-3 from 4 years ago.
Yeah, they're still ticked off at the Patriots.
5 years ago. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Come on, don't tell me they don't care.
Ah. This is kind of, I don't know.
No.
I'm trying to find an angle, but there is no angle. This game stinks.
If they pull the trade and Deshaun Watson starts this weekend, there's your angle.
There's
not going to happen.
So. Expected thunderstorms in the area. Maybe you'll get a lightning delay and spare us all. Maybe they'll cancel it. Patriots and Jets.
We love you guys down there, by the way.
By the way, we do. Patriots and Jets. Boy, New England is a tough 0-4 at home this year. That is really eye-opening. They're 0-4 at home. By the way, the 5th game in Week 7 at home? What happened here? How did this happen?
Belichick.
Why did they upload all the home games to the Patriots? This is their 5th home game? To start the season?
It's going
to
be a
road
show.
I'm looking at it right now. They're on the road. Yeah, massive road show. I think they get the bonus game, that 17th game at home. So there you go. Might be an angle. 2-4, but they're kind of a tough out. But the Jets stink, and they won't give them a fight.
No, the thing is, I mean, they've been competitive.
Yeah.
It's not like they're – I don't think they've gotten blown out yet this year. They've been competitive, and they play some really decent teams.
Remember, there's still a draw, folks. 30 million people tuned in to watch that last few minutes of that classic with the Cowboys last week.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. 30 million people. It's amazing.
I mean, I'm looking at who they've played so far. I mean, the only weak teams they played, and they beat them both, was Dolphins and Jets.
Yeah.
Since then, it's been four straight. Oh, no, they beat the Texans. That doesn't count.
By the way, a side note here. If you want to know why rights fees go up and up and up and up by these networks, because 30 million people tuned into the last few minutes of a football game in week six. Right? We can't get 30 million people to watch anything together in network television.
Yeah.
But we can get them in sports. You can have the hottest TV show and it won't get 30 million people. But sports, you can get 30 million people.
Yep.
That's a big, big, big number. You know, when MASH was 50 million, 30 million is great. Giants against the Carolina Panthers. How nuts was this?
Yeah.
The Giants, I think everybody's hurt. Like, they just had an offensive lineman go on the IR.
Did they? I mean, who's playing for the Giants?
I don't think Daniel Jones should have been playing last week out of the concussion protocol.
No, I was surprised that he did.
Me too.
And he'll
Me
be back.
Too.
And obviously, he'll be back again this week.
Right.
They're, you know, the team's leading rusher, Daniel Jones. That's who you're talking about, right? Running back Daniel Jones?
Yeah, running back Daniel Jones, right, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's just wasting his talent. Why isn't he leading the team in receiving yards?
By the way, Carolina, led by Sam Darnold, if he beats the Giants, it'll complete the New York sweep for him. That's done. Wrap that up. Joe Judge said, fish stink or something along those lines, talking about he's to blame for this. Fish stink from the head down? Is that the quote?
Is that it?
I think it, yeah. Well, anyway, he's taking the blame for the Well, yeah, it is you are the head coach. We're not blaming anybody else. This is on you.
Maybe he's talking about the owners. Maybe he's talking about John Mara.
Maybe so.
From the head all the way down. It's a big fish.
He should just go, I'm doing my job. I don't know what everybody else is talking about. I know what I'm doing. I'm fine. The last afternoon game, and I think this has got some real meat on its bone, Cincinnati Bengals against the Baltimore Ravens. I don't know much about the Bengals in terms of, like, are they middle, you know, upper middle class, if you will, right? If, like, we have the rich in the NFL and then the middle of the road teams, are the Bengals like the upper middle class? I don't know yet. Good win against the Steelers, a tough loss to the Packers that went into overtime. We thought the Lions would beat them, and instead they throttled them out of the stadium. The Ravens are really good, really, really good.
Yeah, I don't.
If the Bengals give them a noise, you know, fly in the ointment kind of thing, I don't know.
This actually is, I think, a true test for the AFC North.
I do, too.
You know, this is one of those games where, like, okay, are the Ravens just going to run away with it? Because let's face it, I mean, the Browns are a shell of who they are. Even though despite the win yesterday, they just don't look competitive at all.
Let me make this clear, because I was telling about Kevin Stefanski. I don't think the Browns that played last night beat the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah,
Bengals. Or the Bengals. I don't even know if they beat the Steelers. I think they capitalized on a really bad offensive Denver Broncos team.
And then on the flip side, like we just mentioned, the Steelers, I don't see the Steelers challenging at all, even though somehow they come up with wins every once in a while. You know, this one almost feels like, you know, the early fight for the AFC North title.
Hey, listen, if the Bengals do win this, both teams are 5-2 after 7 weeks of the NFL season. That's pretty good for the Bengals. That's a really decent mark. So there you go. Those are your early games. We're going to get to the afternoon games, including the Sunday night affair, when we come back. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. The games you're looking forward to seeing, you can throw us a line there as we continue. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we're going to continue with the NFL schedule, but first, O'Reilly Auto Parts, specializing in keeping your car on the road. Not sure how much life is left in your battery? O'Reilly Auto Parts can help. The professional parts people will test your battery for free. If it does need to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right one to fit your car. Superstar batteries are built to handle even the toughest conditions. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. All right, let's get back to the NFL schedule coming up this weekend. Philadelphia Eagles, they are on the road to face the Las Vegas Raiders. All right, so the Raiders continue to do this thing like, all right, we'll just rally around ourselves now that our head coach is gone. They beat Denver last week. The Eagles.
But you know what? Now, just back up. That's not saying much. They beat Denver last week. Really are seeing Denver's true colors.
Yeah, we are. So we're not going to give the Raiders credit for all the turmoil and winning that game?
Show me what you got this week.
All right, show me what you got against the 2-4 Eagles. Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, show me what you got against Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
Show me what you got, Raiders.
Isn't it more like Jalen Owie now? Okay, that's fine. like Hurts, just like, oh! Now it's more like, ow. Oh, that was annoying. Ugh. It's like when you get a shot, it's just an initial pain, and then you're okay.
For whatever reason, when you have teams like this that face off against each other, they need to throw put throwback unis on.
I do, too.
Because I just picture, like, you know, these two teams facing off against one another, like, in the 70s.
And Bowl 15.
Yeah, that's the uniform that needs to be worn.
Jim Plunkett against Ron Jaworski.
Those two should be out there.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, I'm sure those two guys, if they got the invite, would love to go to Vegas for the weekend.
Yep, I remember that. Eagles and Raiders. I wonder if there'll be any reference to Super Bowl 15 between these two teams. They might.
I wonder.
That was about 40 years ago. There you go.
There's still people around.
It was 40 years ago. It was January of 2001. 1981. Sorry. All right, Lions and Rams. I'm done with the Lions. I love you, Dan Campbell, but I'm done. I'm done on this portion of the show. I'm done telling people how competitive you are and how, like, you're a win away. And I say that and watch them upset the Rams this weekend.
I'm going to say this. I have a feeling this is at least a 4-star game.
Yeah, okay.
You know, we want to know why.
Because
I can't wait to see Aaron Donald go after Jared Goff.
That is true. That's the other angle to this, right?
I cannot wait. I mean, first of all, you have the two former quarterbacks who, you know, just not even a year removed from their former team playing against each other.
Playing against a former team. Right.
But the thing is the Raiders defense going up against Jared Goff.
This is
going to be fascinating. I don't give the Lions one. What is the line in this game anyway?
The line is 16 points.
Yeah. That's lowballing, I believe.
And let's be honest, even though that's two scores with 2-point conversions, that's really a 3-score line.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
I still think it's lowballing. I don't know why. I think the Rams I don't think they have a vendetta against Goff, but I think they're going to take something out on him.
Yeah, and then Goff will be like, yeah, he's got an axe to grind against his former team while he's sacked for the 7th time.
Yeah. That's what I'm looking forward to, is just seeing Aaron Donald just be like, you know, I mean, is he going to put Goff into the ground hard, or is it going to be like, hey, Goff, just lay down now.
Yeah.
Just fall over.
How emotional will it be for Matt Stafford, do you think? I think it'll be pretty emotional, right?
He
had a really good run in Detroit.
I think it would have been more emotional if this was at Ford Field in Detroit.
I do, too. I mean, look, he didn't go to a Super Bowl or playoffs or anything like that, but he was a good player in Detroit. He was one of their, you know, better players in the team's history. So I don't think it's necessarily an axe to grind here. You put him in a better situation, a situation he wanted. But I do think it will be emotional to go up against his former team. Speaking of that, how about the next game, Cardinals and Texans?
Yeah.
Now, J.J. Watt has said this is not the same Texans team.
No.
Like, it's not.
Hey, he probably doesn't know anybody on this team.
Right, exactly. Because Whitney Merkless just left. They just sent him off, and they said bye, and he's now with the Packers.
Yeah, there's no one on the offensive side that he remembers.
Yeah, so he doesn't have, like, it's not like he's going up against his old buddies.
No, even the coaches are different. He's going to look across the line. People are going to be like, at the end of the game, the camera's going to be fixated on J.J. Watt. Like, who's he going to hug? Who's he going to hug? And J.J. Watt's going to look like
I don't know any of these people.
Jimmy Valvano running around the court. Like,
exactly.
I don't know what to do.
Is Brian Cushing around anywhere? Give him a hug. Goodness gracious. You know who he could hug? He could hug DeAndre Hopkins. They could have a moment, right?
Yeah.
They can just hug each other and go, ha, 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 ha.
It is a shame.
We're going to the postseason. Oh.
The big talk with this game, and I do wish, you know, the NFL could flip-flop it sometimes. It would be that, you know, this game was in Houston. If you had these two coming home to Houston, I think it would have been a lot more emotional. It being in Arizona, I mean, I don't know, J.J. Watt, sacks, Tyrod Taylor, Davis Mims, whoever's
no
quarterback
kidding.
Of that. It's not going to mean anything.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you could be a part of honoring J.J. Watt for everything he's done for the city and whatnot. Yeah, totally. Absolutely. Absolutely. But, you know, we talked about the line for the Rams-Lions is 16. This is 17.5 over the terrible, terrible Houston Texans.
Probably too low as well.
Yeah, probably too low as well. The Texans are going to be thanking their lucky stars the Astros are heading to the World Series. Just, oh, goodness gracious, what a terrible team this is. Atrocious. But the Cardinals are 6-0, and they're going to
and
be
maybe,
7-0 Monday
just
morning.
Maybe, there will be enough of a hangover from Saturday night if there is a Game 7.
Yeah.
That there's enough of a hangover that most of Houston won't watch this game.
By the way, real quick, yeah, that's true. By the way, I remember... Remember when, like, a couple of years ago, Jose Altuve had that big home run and, like, J.J. Watt was wearing his jersey going into the stadium the next day? Like, that was good times in that city, right? And Harden and the Rockets were winning. And it was
was the year 2017 when the Astros won the World Series. And then not even 12 hours later, Deshaun Watson tears his ACL.
Yeah, that's right. Oh,
in practice.
That's right. I remember that.
Didn't even give him enough time to celebrate or carry it over from one team to another. And who knows? Maybe this time around, just before kickoff, the news comes down that Deshaun Watson got traded.
Maybe so. Tampa Bay taking on the Chicago Bears. The Buccaneers at 5-1. All right. So this kind of made news yesterday. Tom Brady was informed that of all the teams he's played in the NFL, all the quarterbacks he's faced, he has never faced an Ohio State quarterback before until this weekend when he goes up against Justin Fields.
How's that possible?
I did not believe that.
So he never, even when he was at Michigan, he never faced a guy?
No, in his NFL career.
Oh, in his NFL career. Okay.
So in his NFL career, all of the games that he has played in the NFL, he's never faced an Ohio State quarterback.
Wow.
So... Here's the thing, all right? I was like, that can't be true. And then, so it is true. Here's what Brady said, though, about that is amazing. He goes, why can't Ohio State put quarterbacks in the NFL? This guy is the gift that keeps on giving, isn't it?
God, ever since he left the Patriots, he's been so much cooler.
He has been so much cooler. Like, if he had said that, with a Patriots uniform on, people have been like, that's arrogant.
Well, it's like when he piggybacked on what Aaron Rodgers said, like he commented on Aaron Rodgers saying, I own Chicago, I own you. And he's like, well, you know, technically he does. He does own part of Soldier Field.
Yeah, that's true. Brady, you're right. Brady, since he's gone to the Buccaneers, is just a lot more likable.
Yes.
Like I was saying earlier, like if he had said that quote, people have been like, look at the arrogance of Tom Brady.
Well, no, he never would have been allowed to.
Like Ohio State.
You're assuming he would have been able to talk freely.
Yeah, he wouldn't have probably been with some protocol. Somebody would have brought that up, and he would have said, oh, that's interesting.
No, you know what he would have done? He would have handed a piece of paper to Giselle and say, Giselle, can you say this?
Can you say this, like, on Twitter?
Yeah. Can you just tweet this out?
Why don't you take the heat for saying that Ohio State can't put quarterbacks in the NFL?
Because you really think she knows about, hey, you can't pass and catch at the same time?
Right.
She's, you know, they don't... She's soccer. She's from Brazil. Like, she doesn't know American football.
Honey, what is that again? Catch, pass, and catch. Autocorrect is screwing this up. Let me do this again. Hold on. Pass. You said catch? Catch, right? Like catch? Yeah, like catch.
She's like, just give me your phone. I'll do it on your account. In perfect English. No Brazilian accent.
Colts and 49ers. This is the Sunday night game.
Flex it.
Wow. Not getting a good one here.
Flex it. Can we? Why do we have to wait till week 8 to flex?
I know. Why do we? Exactly.
I mean, Chiefs-Titans would be such a better game flexed here.
Oh, no kidding.
I'll even take Bengals-Ravens.
I'd take Bengals-Ravens, too. But no. How about Seattle and Geno Smith against Jameis Winston and the Saints on Monday night?
Yeah. You know what the watchability for this one is? Manningcast is back.
That's right. Good point. Michael Thomas could also return for the Saints. All right. The U.S. Grand Prix is going on in Austin this weekend. We'll talk to Chris Medlin about all of that coming up next on Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue. It is SportsMap Radio. We just went over all of the NFL games that are going to occur this weekend, but also on Sunday, it's the United States Grand Prix from the Circuit of the Americas, Formula One, coming to the States. And as you've probably heard me mention, as a Formula One guy, I've seen the increase in popularity over the last couple of years. A lot of it having to do with the Drive to Survive Netflix series. And, of course, one of the featured journalists in that series is Chris Medlin. And he joins us right now on a Progressive Guest Line. How are you, Chris?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Appreciate it. Let's talk a little bit about this race in particular. The United States has had a number of Formula One races coming throughout the sport's history. But it feels like the popularity of this sport has been growing a lot to do with that series. Are you sensing an increase in interest in this over the few days that you've been in the United States?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's been growing for a while anyway. The race here in Austin, like since it's joined the calendar, it's like it's found a proper home. It was built just for F1 specifically, and then other series have used it since. But the city really embraces it. It's a cool venue to come to. So F1 really sort of clicked here. And we were seeing pretty solid growth anyway. But then, yeah, when Netflix came out, you had an absolute boom because just so many more people were introduced to the sport and thought, wow, this is really weird and quite cool. I need to check it out a bit more. And I know it's not for everybody, but a lot more people seem to think that it was something that they wanted to try and watch when they could.
And for you personally, I was just kind of processing this. I mean, you've been in the series since its start in 2018. But, like, this is really the first Grand Prix because most people saw this during the pandemic, and most people saw this in the downtime of 2020. Are you seeing people more, you know, coming to you and recognizing you now that they've now seen this series?
To be honest, I kind of got that in 2019 because, yeah, the first season had just come out at the start of that year, and the last time we were here was towards the end of that season. So I did a load of kind of appearances and things at the track that I'd done before. Just as a service for a racer, and it was okay. There was, you know, some people knew me, but not many. But Netflix really made it explode, and yeah, a lot more people were coming up and wanting photos and asking questions, and then reaching out on social media since then. So yeah, that was all very, very cool, and now we're seeing obviously a huge increase in interest that's continued since the pandemic. One part of it that we can kind of quantify is that they've added, you know, close to 35,000 seats at the racetrack for this race to get more tickets sold because there's just such demand for people wanting to come and see it.
All right, let's get to the actual racing, and it's Max Verstappen and Lewis Hamilton in this very great championship fight that is all season. But we go to tracks where Red Bull has an advantage, and there are tracks where Mercedes has the advantage. We know that Christian Horner has called this Hamilton country. Is that true in 2020 based on the way the cars are set up and based on what the track is starting to show this season?
Yeah, I'd say it is. Mercedes were always very strong here. I think Lewis has won 5 of the 8 times that Formula One has raced here in Austin, and only once has he not had a car able to win, but he's taken advantage of every opportunity. And the Mercedes looked so strong at the last race in Turkey 2 weeks ago that if there are any doubts that, you know, maybe it would be different this year, I think that kind of put them to bed. So it would be a surprise, I think, to see Red Bull any quicker than Mercedes. This will be definitely a race that Mercedes and Hamilton are kind of earmarking to get the full points. But then the next two, in Mexico and Brazil, those two look much more like Red Bull circuits because they're at altitude and the Honda engine just works a bit better at altitude. So that gives them an advantage. So, yeah, even over these next couple of races, there's going to be potentially big swings in both directions.
What have both drivers been talking about this season in terms of the last few times that they have gone, you know, head-to-head on the track, racing on the track, that have ended up in the gravel at Monza or Max in the wall at Silverstone? They tend to put it off. I mean, I get how athletes kind of talk about these things to the public, but what are you noticing between the drivers as the intensity of the championship fight has increased?
Oh, it's definitely something that between the two of them has increased in the sense of neither of them wanting to back down. And it was very much Max Verstappen's style not to back down in any situation. But up to now, he's not been in a championship fight. So that kind of is okay because he was either trying to win a race or he's not going to win that one race in isolation. But the bigger picture didn't matter. But Lewis Hamilton, he's always been in championship fights for the last 10 years. So he was always kind of playing the longer game. And there were times he would yield to Max because it didn't make sense for him to get too involved. This year, as it's sort of grown and got closer and closer in the battle and the season's gone on, both sides have had to kind of dig their heels in and be like, you know, we're not giving an inch because this will matter come the end of the season. And that's when we've had these incidents. You know, Max was used to Lewis maybe jumping out of the way a bit more. Lewis was kind of open to it before and then started having to dump his authority on some of the moves. And then, you know, they come to blows. So it's been really interesting. The two of them say they're not feeling the pressure, but then you see them each make mistakes and realize they are. Of course they are. When you've got such a close battle, mistakes creep in because pressure comes up. So, yeah, they're both talking a good game at the moment, but when you get those crunch points and you see them come together, that makes you realize just how much they want it.
For a lot of people that are new to the sport who have caught in because of the reality show and then have been following it all season, maybe this is the first time they've seen action at the circuits of the Americas. What kind of track is it? What can they expect? It's got some design elements from other circuits. What kind of track will they see on Sunday?
They're going to see a very cool one. I mean, this is one of the tracks that a lot of the drivers say has been a huge success in F1 because it's one of the newer circuits, but they love coming here. And that's not the case with always the new tracks. Some of them, you know, are not in the best locations. They're not the most thrilling to drive. They're not great for racing. But Austin kind of has it all a bit. Turn one's incredible. The elevation changes and the very high point where you can see out over the track and to the city skyline as well. That's a great spot. You get a lot of overtaking there too. And then afterwards, the first section, so turns two through to about 8 or 9, is kind of modelled on Silverstone and Suzuka, where there's a really fast change of direction. And that's when you see a Formula One car at its best, cornering at high speed, changing direction instantly. It's kind of mind-blowing. If you've got general admission tickets, head down to that section and try and watch from there. And then there's a hairpin at the end that leads onto a long back straight where it's very bumpy, but there's going to be a lot of overtaking. So it's kind of got a bit of everything in that sense. The final sectors, you can see a car a little bit closer. There's a lot of grandstands around there and the tower that it goes around, but there's normally a bit more following there to set up for the start of the lap again in turn one, as I mentioned. But yeah, we've got overtaking opportunities, corners that are a really good test for the car, and it's one the drivers love.
Let's talk a little bit about American involvement in this sport. We've had American drivers in Formula One before, but now there seems to be a little bit more conversation about where the next one could come from. Let's talk about Michael Andretti buying a team in Formula One, Colton Herta moving up. Tell me about that process. I mean, what would a super licensed deal be for Colton Herta? Can he go right into it? Does he have to have a little bit more under his belt? And can we see this in the near future, or is it still a really difficult process for an American driver to get in from the ground up?
So it is a pretty difficult process, mainly because a lot of it is kind of skewed towards the European racing ladder. The FIA control racing in Europe. They don't run the IndyCar series or US racing so much. So they've kind of prioritized the way you score the points you need to get a super license. And the way that works is you need 40 points over a three-year period to sort of prove that you're consistently good enough to be able to be trusted with a Formula One car because, you know, they're the most advanced, fast, and at times dangerous machines in the world. But from IndyCar perspective, the world champion does get the maximum 40 points just for winning the title. So straight away, Alex Palou this year, for example, won the title, gets 40 points. So he could race an F1 just off the back of that. But once you get past third place in the IndyCar series, they kind of rank it lower, which I think is perfectly unfair. They rank it lower than Formula 2, the kind of feeder step in Europe. And you don't get as many points for those positions. So you need basically two top three finishes in a row in the championship to get a super license from IndyCar. So for Colton Herta, for example, as you mentioned, he'd need another solid season like he's had because the last two, I think, he's been third and fifth. He's close on points. He only needs about 8 more super license points. So I think a top 7 finish or 6 finish would do for him. But he does need to just show that consistency for one more year. Probably unfairly. I mean, these are guys that are very talented, winning races in IndyCar, deserve to be able to race in F1, and they probably need to address it. Fernando Alonso said yesterday that IndyCar should be weighted more so that maybe the top 3 drivers in the championship automatically get 40 points, like it happens in Formula 2. So that's why if US drivers are racing in Europe, there's more chance to accumulate those points for the super license and get in earlier at a younger age. If they've come through the IndyCar setup, then they need, you know, a couple of years right at the very front, which isn't easy to do. But that's not a reflection on their talent. That's a reflection on the way the series is structured. So I think that maybe needs revisiting. And if the FIA do revisit that and give IndyCar more super license points, then that would help us see more US drivers move across in the future.
It seems obvious, like if you go to soccer, obviously this country is crazy about Christian Pulisic. If we had an American driver, does that American driver have to be on a good team? If it's a backmarker team, do you think we'd still gravitate to the sport more just to cheer on that driver, even if he's not anywhere near the front of the field?
To be honest, no, I don't think so. I was doing an interview with Bobby Epstein, the chairman here at Croker, yesterday, and he said something similar. Like, people aren't going to root for a guy who's running around at the back because, you know, it's a bit demoralizing when you're doing that. You want to see them get in, and sometimes that's the step you need to take, you know, to get experience. You've got to race for a team that's maybe not that competitive, but there's enough good American drivers that could be in competitive cars, and that's what's going to capture the imagination. If the US audience are seeing an American driver fighting for podiums or at least points, but even wins in future, they're really going to get behind that. And if an American wins a world championship, it's going to be huge. But if they're running around at the back in 15th, 16th place, like, maybe your hardcore fans are going to connect with it, but anyone else who kind of takes a bit of a look, who are kind of interested in F1, are going to wonder why their driver from the US isn't doing so well and not really get buy into it so much. So I think it's really important they get a competitive car. And in that sense, we don't know what next year will look like. There's a big regulation change. So who knows? Some of the teams that currently aren't competitive could become competitive. And that would mean there's maybe a few more options for guys on the grid.
Absolutely. Real quick, before we let you go, the future of the Austin race, I know there's still a contractual issue, does look optimistic, but what do you know about the future of this race? I know Miami's got a 10-year deal, but what about Austin? Will we see it in the future, do you think?
Yeah, I'd be surprised if we don't see it in the future. I mean, they've done so much work to increase the popularity of F1 over here in the US and to really give it a home. And off the back of that, we've seen like the foundation set for the recent growth. F1 will be talking to the circuit owners and the race organizers over this weekend. Again, Bobby Epstein said yesterday he's going to take the F1 CEO, Stefano Domenicali, round in a golf cart at some stage to show him like the huge show they're putting on, because it's an incredible event that they've got organized this year. And he wants to really show all of that off first, and then he'll have a conversation about the new contract, because that will hopefully really convince Stefano about the appetite for F1 over here. But Formula One definitely want to be here with more than one race. They've got two now with Miami coming on, as long as they get this deal done. And they very much want to get this deal done. So it might not happen instantly, but I'd be very, very surprised if we're not racing here next year.
Well, I really appreciate your time, Chris. I've been a Formula One fan for a long time. I don't get to talk a lot about it on an American sports talk show. I've seen a lot of my friends really increase in the interest, so I've really enjoyed it. And a lot of it has to do with you guys and the way you're covering it and the way you're talking about it on that reality show, Drive to Survive. I really appreciate your time, my friend. Thank you so much.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me on. It was really good fun.
Yeah, great. Chris Medlin, again, joining us to talk about the U.S. Grand Prix, which will be this weekend. It's on ABC, and yet it does come at a time where the NFL is sort of competing against it, but it's a once-a-year thing. If you kind of bounce around a little bit, you might be interested to see what's going on in Austin, Texas, coming up this weekend. And they are the fastest cars in auto racing right now. All right, well, as we continue, we'll give a wrap-up into what we got this weekend, including the baseball, the two Game Sixes coming up today and tomorrow in the weekend full of sports on Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks to Chris Medlin for joining us, talking about the U.S. Grand Prix in Austin. This hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage that fits your life? Rocket can. All right, so this is a jam-packed weekend, and this is what you're getting in the month of October, right? I mean, you're getting Game 6 tonight, Astros and Red Sox. Game 6 Saturday, between the Braves and the Dodgers. Possible Game 7, hopefully, Ron Culver, on a Sunday between the Braves and the Dodgers. College football.
Almost forgot about possible Game 7.
I said that on Sunday. Possible.
No,
game
no,
seven.
On Saturday.
Oh, that's true. I'm already conceding the Astros winning the ALCS. Shame on me.
Yep.
Darn it. Oh, God.
Just
how
remember,
awful.
I mean, there's, you know, it's out there.
Goodness gracious. I'm awful. I am Sox Nation.
We have a good friend who appears on this network from time to time who's a huge Red Sox fan.
That's very true. Reel it back in,
and
Tony D.
And I promise you, if they do win on Saturday, then we could probably get Brian Barrett as a guest on Monday.
Yeah, it's very true. In fact, I would absolutely love
and once again,
to have Brian back on.
Once again, you're having to apologize to Red Sox Nation.
I can't believe I just... Yeah, Game 6, and then I'll be done.
Kind of remind you of Game 7. I mentioned right. Game 7 on Sunday. No, the one on Saturday, Tony.
Oh, that's great. Oh, God.
So anyways, but yeah, then there's college football on Saturday.
College football and then NFL Sunday. College football. Look, I know some of you don't live in SEC territory. I get it. Alabama, Tennessee. I don't think Tennessee is going to win the game. But Josh Heupel's got an offense that moves quick. And I think, I don't know, Joe Milton will probably be the quarterback because Hendon Hooker got hurt. But if they can keep that up-tempo offense, they might do something. I think Alabama, though, will win that game. But don't forget, and we did forget yesterday, when we talked to Jerry Palm, that Notre Dame and USC is playing. And that's, you know, if you're nostalgic, be nostalgic. And then, of course, we just ran through the NFL schedule. And then there's the auto racing with NASCAR in Kansas and the U.S. Grand Prix in Austin. Full week, full weekend of fun coming up. But most importantly, I think tonight, if the Astros do win, that's the third World Series appearance for the Astros in, how many World Series? That would be the fourth, right? For the
appearance?
Astros since 2017?
No, I think it'll be third World Series since 2017.
Third World Series since 2017.
Yeah, because the Red Sox went 1 year and then the Rays.
2018 and then the Rays. Yeah, that's right.
Can't forget about those Rays.
I cannot forget about the Rays. I'm burying the Red Sox, but I can't forget about the Rays. But if Boston hangs on for a Game 7 on Saturday, that should be just as compelling. All right, thanks for joining us. We'll be back Monday to wrap up all of the action that is going on this weekend. Denton Day has got you covered coming up on Sports Map Radio.